chapter 2, 2 Timothy, that's in the New Testament. So if you get to the New Testament, you're going to get past Thessalonians, and you should run right into Timothy. If you've gone to Hebrews, you've gone too far. You just go backwards until you hit 2 Timothy. Not 1 Timothy, but 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In light of Memorial Day, I want to bring a message to you this morning entitled, Remember the Soldier. Remember the Soldier. And I'll say more about it here in just a moment. Look with me at chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Would you pray with me? Lord, I am rejoicing this morning that we can gather around Your Word in full confidence that these are not just ideas, these are not just man's suggestions, but God, we open up the living Word of God. And Lord, I am so blessed to be able to have my own Bible when most of this world does not. And I pray that God, You would grip us this morning with our call, Lord, to be faithful to the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus. So we yield to You in this time, and we want to give You the glory, oh Father, for being so very good. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Remember the soldier, the captain of our salvation. My main point this morning is to preach a message entitled, Remember the Soldier, the subject being, when we follow Christ, we will endure suffering for the sake of others. We will endure suffering for the sake of others. As we mentioned already, think about all those that are enduring suffering on our behalf. You got some people right now that are in Iraq, Afghanistan, Ukraine. You got people all over this world that are putting themselves in danger for our sake. You have families that are separated and children missing their dad or their mom, and they're seeking to do that because they have a purpose, and that is they want others to be benefited by their service. And they're willing to suffer on our behalf. They've made that choice. They are indeed to be honored for that, and we do honor them. But I would like to give a spiritual application to us to remember that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do the same thing with a spiritual emphasis.
As if you're here today and you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has called each of us to go out and to give our lives daily for the sake of others. For the sake of others. You know, Christianity is a others-minded faith. Others-minded. God is wanting us to always think of others, because when we think of our Lord, we're going to think of others. Paul uses that word there in verse 8, and that's where we get in the fact of what we're remembering this morning. He says, remember. That's what Memorial Day is. It is remembering those that have given their life. But spiritually speaking, we remember Jesus. We remember what He did. We remember what He accomplished. We remember how He loved us and did that for us. Amen? That encourages your heart this morning. We remember His words of exhortation. We remember His promises. We remember all that He went through on our behalf. We remember the Lord. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell, you just do not know. You are here at church, and I thank God you are, but in your being, you are not sure. I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ endured torture on your behalf. He endured the cross. He knew He would have to do that for you and for the whole world. And He did it because you cannot. You can't save yourself. You can't pay for your sin. You can't be in church and get a little favor from God and say, well, Lord, I attended that church that time or those different times. Lord, I tried to be good. No, I want to tell you, it was all because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if you'll put your faith in the gospel today, I'm telling you, God will save you. You come to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know You died for me, and I want to be saved. He'll save you. And by the way, just because you know a lot of Christian vocabulary doesn't make you a Christian. It has to be from the heart, putting your faith in the gospel. So we see here that Paul is getting our attention to the Lord Jesus. He says, remember Him. Now, Jesus is the captain of our salvation. We read that in chapter 2, verse 10. I would have you turn there, but for the sake of time, it just refers to Him as the one who is the one that suffered so that we could experience the forgiveness of sins. That's His heart. So what do we have here in our text? We have the Apostle Paul writing to this pastor, Timothy, and saying, brother, you've been saved. And you're going to have to deal with some tough stuff. It's going to be hard. There are going to be some things that you didn't even imagine you would have to experience as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He is exhorting him. That's why in the very beginning He says, be strong in the grace. Because by the way, we can only endure by the grace of God. You try to endure on your own, buddy, you're just setting yourself up for failure. We endure by the grace of God. But He said, endure as hardness as a good soldier, He says in verse 3. He says, you're going to live your life not entangled with the affairs of this life, but that you might please the one that's chosen you to be a soldier. You see, he goes through and gives the examples and the illustrations of someone who strives. That word strive there is what we would in English even use the word struggle. We struggle, but hey, our struggle is for the glory of Jesus Christ. Our struggle as believers is to be able to benefit others around us. And that's what we see here. We see Paul encouraging Timothy to stay faithful through hardships. Paul directs his attention to our Lord. Marcus Luttrell, he wrote Lone Survivor. He served our country as a Navy SEAL.
And he gave this quote in that book, Lone Survivor. He said, quote, "I will never quit. I persevere and thrive on adversity." Now, I'm going to pause right there. This is not some glutton for punishment. I believe there's a spiritual application that we do thrive through adversity. I want you to let that sink in a little bit. You will thrive through adversity. It's not on the couch eating potato chips where we get spiritual, where we get physically fit. There's nothing wrong with sitting on the couch and eating potato chips. There's a time to do that. But we get physically fit when we go out and experience the pain of exercising. You say, is that painful? Well, let's all admit it. Yes. It's like Brother Spencer quoted, I think he, or a quote you gave me, Miss Kathy, I can't remember, he said, running is great except if you compare it to not running, is what some would say. But physically, you go out and you endure. You either work hard and to experience growing in some capacity or providing or whatnot. Well, folks, it's the same way spiritually. When we go through adversity in this life, whether it's a struggle with the flesh, whether it's an attack of the enemy, or it's just a battle with the world, God is strengthening you and me. He is preparing us to be able to better serve Him and help others, as we're going to see here. But He says, I will never quit, Marcus says. He says, I persevere and thrive on adversity. He said, my nation expects me to be physically harder and mentally stronger than mine enemies. If knocked down, I will get back up every time. I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and to accomplish our mission. I am never out of the fight. That was his mentality. That's how he was trained. That's speaking physically in wartime and protection of our country. But listen, I want to say there is some spiritual application there. There are people that are depending upon us to endure hardness. There are people around you, your family, dads, your children, your wives are depending on you to endure hardness, not to be lazy spiritually, not to be given up, not to be under any stronghold, not to be mastered by anything other than the Holy Spirit of God. That's where we endure. Moms, you endure a world that is telling wives today that you don't need to follow your husband and be a support to him and follow the biblical model of a husband-wife relationship, and you battle against that. And the world is saying you do your own thing, you're independent. And you have to say, no, I'm a woman called of God who's been a gift to love and support my husband and follow him and encourage him and to help him. You see, there's a world out there and it takes a denial of self and an endurance. You know, spiritual exercise. Being in church like you are today. You say, that's not that hard. Well, you know, the devil can make it hard. And you'll notice sometimes Sunday mornings before church is where he hits you the hardest. Anybody else experienced that before? You better believe it. Man, it's just because of some irritability or some offense or something like that. Man, it's just it can go wrong. It can. And then it can happen on Saturday nights too. By the way, can I just say something here with liberty? Try to, and I know sometimes this just takes, this is long-term investment. I hope you hear your pastor's heart.
Church, try to make Saturday evening a time where you're getting your heart prepared for worship. Now, I know there's certain circumstances sometimes where we're up late for some event. I'm not talking about that. But as a practice, we ought to be trying to get settled in early on Saturday night, getting ready for worship because of the spiritual battle. I'm facing a spiritual battle right now. Right now as I'm preaching. You think the devil and the demons want me preaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings? Your teachers are facing spiritual battles as they're teaching. We're facing it as we're preparing. You're facing it as you're coming and listening. You're getting distracted right now. What is that? Spiritual battles. But we endure. We don't give up. We keep pressing forward. We're saying, God, I need You. God, I love You. God, I want You. Help this needy man. That's enduring. That's enduring. And I commend you on that. So we see here, as he is telling us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, is because the Lord Jesus did not give up. Are you thankful for that this morning? I am too. He didn't give up. He was dead, but he was raised on that third day. And he said, because of that, I'm going to suffer trouble. That's what it says in your Bible there in verse 9. Because of this, I suffer trouble. He said, even as an evildoer, even in the bonds. He said, basically, I'm locked up when I've done nothing wrong. I'm being treated as an evildoer. And I'm just trying to serve Jesus. I'm just trying to do right. But then notice what he said. He said, but the Word of God is not bound. Amen. Amen. They can't arrest the Word of God. The Word of God is going to go forward with power. And I might be limited. I might be knocked down. But I guarantee you this. I can trust that God's Word will not return void. It will go forward. It will be used in the hearts of the people I give it to. It's working in you right now. Holy Spirit's working right now as I'm preaching the Word of God. He's talking to you about things in your life. I have no idea. That's miraculous, is it not? I have no idea what you're dealing with right now. But since I started preaching the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit, if you're open and willing. Now, you could be here and you're hard-hearted and you're just thinking, I'm just so ready to leave. And I pray that you gotta just help you. I've been there before. But the fact of the matter is, I trust that those of you that are tender and sensitive this morning, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Just about enduring for the glory of God so that you can benefit those around you. I told the folks at Freedom that last, I believe this is true for the Christian. What doesn't challenge you will not change you. The challenges in life is what brings the transformation. It brings the growth. And I believe the Lord does that to help us to grow and being a greater soldier for Him. Suffer trouble as an evildoer. And then he said in verse 10, because I know the Word of God is not going to be bound. Notice verse 10. He says, therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. It's telling you, because Jesus died for me, He suffered a cruel death on the cross of Calvary, and because I know the Word of God is not bound, He said, therefore, I am going to endure hardness. I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. That's what it says. He says, not only that, but He says, I'm going to endure all things for the elect's sake. Who is that? That's all the people that are going to believe the gospel. That's the people that are going to receive the gospel and be saved. And he says, I'm just going to give my life so that other people can be benefited spiritually. So they can obtain that salvation. That is where we're at today, friend. That's what you and I are doing. If you're here today without Christ, God brought you in here so that you could hear the gospel and you could be saved. before leaving here. You're among friends, and I'm just grateful that if there's someone here, the Spirit of God is saying, you need to be saved. Don't try to turn a new leaf. Don't try to find some kind of formula, some kind of steps. Those things will not work. They'll never work. Don't do that. You come to Jesus as a sinner in need of a Savior, and He'll save you when you put your faith in Him. But those of you that know the Lord, let me speak to you just for a moment. If you're taking notes, would you jot these points down? Number one, as I remember the soldier, the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of my salvation, number one, I need to remember my life belongs to the Lord. Did you write that down? My life belongs to the Lord. Over in Romans chapter 14, no less than 13 times, Paul pointed out that your life is to the Lord. They were bickering and debating about just dumb stuff. I say dumb stuff. It was some petty things. And there was some division going on of who could eat meat and who couldn't and this and that. And Paul's like, look, let me tell you something. You know what Paul took them to? He took them to the Lord. He said, listen, your life is unto the Lord. Your life is unto the Lord. You belong to the Lord. In Romans 14:7, it says, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. You know what that phrase means? I belong to the Lord. The Lord owns me. When I got saved, there was a new sign put on my heart. It says, under new ownership. I'm owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at here, I think upon my life, my whole life. My past belongs to the Lord. I don't glory in my past, but God gave me the past I have. I'm not going to be bitter about that. I hope if you're here today and you had a rough past, and it probably worse than mine. Everybody's got different stories here. I don't know, maybe I'm talking to someone that was abused, and I am so, so very sorry if that is your story. In the sense of, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I don't wish that upon anybody, and nobody does. But what I will say to you is that God did allow you to go through that, and now either to bring you to Christ for salvation, and if you've already come to know the Lord Jesus, now He wants you to remember that suffering so that you can reach out and help others that have been through that suffering. Because you will be able to look some person that is at the most broken part of their life when no one else can offer any comfort because they have no idea what that person's going through. You can look at them and say, I'm so sorry. I know what you're going through. Your past belongs to the Lord. Your present belongs to the Lord. Everything about you right now belongs to the Lord. Everything. Your whole being, whether I live unto the Lord. He owns it all, doesn't He? He owns your house, your cars. He owns your children. He owns your bank account. He owns everything about you. He's the owner. And it is unto the Lord. That's what a good soldier will remember. That the Lord paid the ultimate price. And not only is my present belong to Him, but my future. Whether I die unto the Lord. I die and enter into eternity to be with Him forever. You see, the past, present, and future belongs to the Lord. I love the illustration of talking about the Lord being in the center of our lives. Church, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus to be a part of our life? Or is He to be the center of our lives? What is it? Center. Is He to be a portion of our lives? Or is He to be all of our lives? All. I love the illustration God has given us through creation. NASA Science, an article I read, was just given a description. I'm sure they didn't know they were giving me a sermon illustration, but this is what they said about our sun, S-U-N. The sun is the only star in our solar system. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only star in my solar system. He's the center. They also said it is the center of our solar system, and get this, and its gravity, the sun's gravity, holds the solar system together. Not just the way the Lord gives us illustrations through His creation. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that holds everything I have together. By Him all things consist. God is holding me together. He's holding you together. He, the Lord Jesus, is keeping me. They went on to say, everything in our solar system, get this, revolves around it. The planets, the asteroids, the comets, the tiny bits of space debris. Everything revolves around the sun. What about that spiritually? Does my whole life revolve around the centerpiece, the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything. Not just Sunday or Wednesday, but my whole life is about Him. Because He suffered. Because He died. He rose again. I live unto the Lord. I die unto the Lord. I want Him. And my life belongs to Him. And I love this last phrase they used. And I just said, Lord, thank You. They said this. Measuring a day on the sun is complicated. Measuring God is complicated. You can't do it. He's eternal. He's infinite. He has no beginning. He has no ending. What He does, I don't always understand. His thoughts are not always my thoughts. But I'll tell you this. I belong to Him. You belong to Him. Someone said this. It is God, not self, that is important ultimately. To concentrate on self is to neglect our Maker and to sin against Him. Well, what does that mean? Well, to sum it up, another one said it like this. The very essence of sin is self-centeredness. You got to write that down. The very essence of sin, S-I-N, is self-centeredness. It's just focused on me. What I want. But my life is to be centered on Him. We see my life belongs to the Lord. Number two, we see my life is about impacting others. We see that very clearly in our passage. It is obvious that Timothy needed to live his life to endure hardness. And Paul did that. Even in Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said to this church, so being affectionately desirous of you, he said, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but notice what he said, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. What are we willing to endure? What are we willing to wade through? And what are we willing to just simply persevere through for the sake of helping people learn about Jesus Christ? Is your life about impacting others? Are you just so concentrated on you? Others for Christ. Do you want to multiply your life as a believer?
you're called to. The Bible calls us to make disciples. It's the choice to think beyond my own interest and yourself and begin to look at the bigger picture of God's work on the earth and how you can play a part in it. No man is an island. You're making an impact. Paul said this to the Philippians. He says, "Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as have us for an example." In other words, he was saying, listen, follow me as I follow the Lord. He said, by the way, these other believers, get close to them. I look across this sanctuary this morning and I see people that you see that person right there? Listen, just go talk to them. Listen to their story. Listen to what they've gone through or been going through. Listen to what God's doing in their life. It will help you. It will encourage you. We're all dealing with something, right? There's something hard taking place right now in your life. I don't know what it is necessarily. You know, I know what mine is, but there's a hardness there that God's going to lead you through and you're going to endure so that you can impact others. Think about this. Your greatest impact is going to be teaching through your own life. We can't miss this. I believe we miss it easily. The greatest way that you're going to disciple the next generation is life on life. I mean, yes, it would be great if we could take the Bible to everybody we meet and have a Bible study and open up. And I mean, but that's, I'm just being honest, that's not going to happen. There will be opportunities and we should look for discipleship where we open up the Word of God and walk through the Word of God. That's Jesus told us. But notice, Jesus, when He gave the Great Commission for us to go and impact this world as His children, listen, He says, go ye into all the world, okay, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Of course, He's going to tell them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But notice what He says, teaching them the things which you have observed. Where do people observe the Christian life? In you. Your life. That you have been impacted by the Word of God and you are governed by the Word of God. And when you go out into the world, your life is impacting them. So what we ought to do when we're going through this world of trouble as a Christian. And yes, we have moments of joy. But as we talk about the enduring as a soldier, church, we have to understand God wants us to be spending life on life with people. Your children, life on life, doing it with them, spending time with them. Hey, your neighbor, your coworker. Listen, it's life on life. It's letting people come in to see your dark side. Now, I don't say that to be weird. But listen, we all got a dark side. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, we're all dealing with some dark stuff in our lives. Struggles, hardships. And we got to be real enough people, Christians, to say, Jesus can help us through this. He is faithful. But when we deceive ourselves, you know what happens? We come through and we only want to show a bright side. And as if ever we got it all together and everything's fine. And what we do is we miss out on the blessing of impacting others. Paul told this man, look, you're going to endure hardness and you got to be willing to do it for the elect's sake. Be willing to give your life. I pray that God will let me spill my life out here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And I pray that you will have a mentality that God just pour my life out wherever you got me. I want it to be poured out for you.
as a sacrifice. And he used that later on at the end of the chapter. Paul says, I have offered my life. I'm at the end of my race. You know what that word offered is? It's the Greek word poured out. And I'm just talking to you this morning about each of us having a mentality of letting your life be poured out on others. We're not playing Christianity. We're not playing church. We're real people with real struggles with a real God who has the power to save and to rescue. That's what we have here. My life belongs to the Lord. My life is impacting others. What is your life teaching others right now? What do people see in your life, in your thinking? Not just here at church, but in your home. What's in your heart? And then lastly, in closing, my life is accountable to the captain. Notice there back in our text, we see that he goes on. Let me get back here to my chapter. He says, We're going to serve the Lord. He says, I'm going to endure all things in verse 10 for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And he's going to be faithful. We're going to suffer with him. We're going to reign with him. There's a promise there. But he teaches us over in Romans chapter 14 that we're going to give an account. And going back to the petty things that they were trying to work through on preferences in Romans chapter 14, Paul was saying, look, you do what you do as unto the Lord. There's one thing that I don't have the authority to do this morning. There's several things that I don't have the authority to do. But when it comes to judging, I don't have the authority to judge your conscience. We're bad about that. We judge people's conscience. We judge their motives. Now, I can judge action. I mean, hey. If I see somebody stealing something, hey, he stole something. Not Brother Wes. I didn't mean to point that direction. I was over here. I can make judgments on action. That's obvious. But I'm going to have to give an account to the captain one day for my own heart. And I'm not trying to judge you this morning, but you really need to get before God continuously, church, each individual here, and say, Lord, I don't want my life to belong to me. It belongs to you. And Lord, I want my life to be poured out for others so that I can impact them for Christ. Because you're going to give an account one day. I'm going to give an account. You're not going to be standing beside me. I'm not going to be standing beside you. It's just going to be you and the Lord. It's going to be me and the Lord. And I don't believe we're going to be judged on what kind of foods we had spread out on the table. But I do believe that we're going to be judged on how our lives were spread out for Him and His glory before Him. That's what we want to do. Now, you may remember in the news several years ago, a man that was in the U.S. Army by the name of Bo Bergdahl. He received a dishonorable discharge from the United States Army. He avoided prison time for desertion and misbehavior before the enemy after abandoning his outpost in Afghanistan in 2009. So he was charged with this and received the dishonorable discharge in March of 2015. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of that, but because he left his post, there were his fellow soldiers that died looking for him. And then, because he was in captivity to the Taliban, there was an exchange done for those that had been apprehended in Afghanistan and were kept at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. There was an exchange of 5 well-known terrorists for this young man. The exchange was given. It was on national television. And all the reasons he left, there are many things that are being said, but he was found guilty. But one of the things I'm sure was that he got disillusioned. He got discouraged in the battle. And he got really focused in on himself instead of the fact of why he was there and who he was protecting. And I just want to say in closing this morning, as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't get disillusioned with this life. I understand you may be going through some hard things, but don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Take the exhortation from the Word of God this morning and be willing to endure this hardness for the sake of others and ultimately to the glory of God. Because if you don't, if you give up and just say, I don't want anything to do with this, I'm tired of this, and you have that mentality of I'm out, people are going to die. People are going to suffer. People are going to be hurt. I'm telling you, there's going to be havoc on people when you stop living the life God has called you to live. Please do not be so naive to think that it's not going to have consequences. We've got to say, Lord, I belong to you. I want to impact others. Because, Lord, I'm going to give an account. What are you going to do today, believer? What are you going to do right now when God's speaking to you and saying, hey, who do you belong to? Will you say this morning, Lord, I belong to you? Will you, secondly, say, Lord, I want my life to be poured out for others? I think about you young people here this morning. I pray that God will use you in a mighty way. As you go into the schools and wherever you are, pour your life out so others can know Him. Because we're going to give an account. Let's pray.